They say life insurance is like a parachute. If you don't have it the first time, odds are you won't need it again. Hi, I'm Rob West. A funny line, but all kidding aside, life insurance is the only way most people can provide for their families if they should die. But what happens when it ends? I'll talk about that first today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Of course, we're talking about term life insurance here, which we almost always recommend. It's far cheaper than whole life and doesn't mix investing with a death benefit. You're much better off investing separately from an insurance policy. Now, term insurance, by definition, ends when the term expires. And we often get this question from listeners: what then? Well, generally, you have four options. The first is to simply let the policy lapse. If you had a 20-year policy that's ending, at this stage of your life, it's quite possible that you no longer need life insurance. If the kids are grown and out of the house, supporting themselves and your spouse's income plus Social Security survivor benefits is sufficient, then life insurance is a needless expense that you can put to better use in your retirement account. But if you still have dependents who rely on your income or a spouse whose income can't meet expenses, then you still need to have some type of term policy. And that leaves you with three more options. The next is to get a completely new term policy when the current one expires. We normally recommend one with a death benefit of 10 to 12 times your salary. Don't be surprised by how much more a new policy at this later stage in life will cost. A 50-year-old healthy male can expect to pay around $80 a month for a 20-year, $500,000 policy, or around four times the cost for a 30-year-old. That's simply based on actuarial tables. It's nothing personal. Of course, if the policy is only to provide for your spouse and not dependent children, you may be able to get by with less. For example, a policy that would pay off just the remaining principal on your mortgage, if any. And while the cost of a new policy might have given you sticker shock, it's usually less than you'll have to pay to simply extend your existing policy, which is another option. Why is that, you may be asking? Well, if you decide to get a new policy, you'll have to go through all of the underwriting procedures you did at age 30, a medical exam, giving an extensive medical history, blood test, and so on. When all of that is complete, the insurance company has a pretty good idea of the risk it's taking on. Okay, so let's say you go through all of that and you're approved for a new term policy, but the monthly premiums are too high. Well, you have a few ways to bring them down. You can lower the death benefit. Instead of $500,000, maybe you can get by with just $250,000. The company may encourage you to buy more insurance than is necessary, so you have to keep your own needs in mind. You can also lower the term. Instead of getting a new 20-year policy, maybe you can get by with a 10-year term. Again, just long enough to get the mortgage paid off, for example. And you can save up and opt to pay your premiums annually instead of monthly. Some companies will give you up to a 5% discount for making a yearly lump sum payment. Your next option for when your term insurance policy expires is you can simply extend it. If you decide to go that route, there's usually no medical workup required. But since the insurer is going into this blind with no idea of any medical conditions that may have arisen in the past 20 years, the premiums will be higher than you'd have with a new policy, sometimes a lot higher. But keep in mind, if you have developed a serious medical condition, you may not be able to get a new policy at all. In that case, extending your current policy is definitely the way to go, if you can afford it. If you can't, it leaves you with your last option, getting what's called a simplified term or instant issue policy. As you might guess, an instant issue policy requires no medical checkup. You apply, you're approved, and you start paying premiums. And usually you can do all of that online. Now, if you're thinking that sounds too good to be true, there must be a catch. Actually, there are three. First, the death benefit with this type of term policy tends to be smaller. Second, the term is likely to be shorter. And three, it probably will cost a lot more than a regular term policy that includes a medical exam. But for some folks, an instant issue policy could be a real blessing when their current term policy expires. All right, I hope that was helpful. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Is the weight of the world on your shoulders today? Maybe someone depends on you for near constant care. Or perhaps your to-do list is getting larger by the second. You wonder how you're going to make it through this day. Hear these simple words of Jesus. They apply broadly from our deepest spiritual needs to everyday stressors. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Do you believe it's true? Well, take a few seconds and ask Jesus for the help you need today. Get more daily encouragement from Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
There have been people in our nation who have been pining for wickedness. As we read through Romans 1, you see over and over, God gave them over. God gave them over. But what is happening is evidence of abandonment. We need to understand that that is included within the wheelhouse, if you will, of God judging a people.
Join Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on AFR.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, we're ready to take your calls and questions here in just a moment. The calls have started coming in, but we've got room for a few more. So if you have something on your mind financially today, we'd love to hear from you. That number to get in on the conversation is 800-525-7000. It's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before we head to those phones, in the news today, all eyes are on the Federal Reserve, as the central bank this week is expected to make its first rate cut in 4 years. The markets have already baked in a 100% expectation that the Fed will cut rates at its meeting. That's this Wednesday. Some observers suggest that the expected reduction, which is a quarter of a point, 0.25%, isn't a lot to be excited about. More important is the trend and signs of cooling inflation, which could mean more aggressive rate cuts before the end of the year. Now, if you're waiting for your credit card interest rate to drop, it could be a long wait. In the last 2 years, the average credit card rate has risen from 16.3% to more than 20%, which is near an all-time high. And keep in mind, that's just the average. Analysts say that the Fed would have to cut rates several more times to get the average credit card rate down to 19%, which is just 1 point lower. Bottom line, take steps to pay down or pay off your credit card balances as fast as you can. The interest rates are likely to remain high for the foreseeable future. We, of course, recommend that you connect with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. If you'd like to get those interest rates down, you can do that. They'll come down to between 0 and 12% on average, again, versus that 20% average that exists today. It allows you to make one level monthly payment, keep the debt right where it is. You're not taking out a new loan to pay it off. And the combination of that level payment and those lower interest rates allows you to get that paid off 80% faster. Again, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Now, we've already seen CD rates and savings rates starting to head lower. That trend will continue. This is a good time with your short-term money. I'm talking money that you're looking to put away in the most conservative end of the risk spectrum from, let's say, 1 to 3 years as your time horizon. That's an ideal place for you to take advantage of CD rates while they're still high. You can still get 5% on a 1 year CD, even 5.5%. You can get 4.25%, even a little better than that, 2 and 3 years, but those aren't going to be available for long. They've already started heading down in anticipation of the rate cut. So a good time to kind of lock those in, even if you're thinking about maybe even something like a 10-year treasury, those will be headed lower. This will be a good season for bonds in the short and medium term duration over the next probably couple of years. But again, all of that needs to be weighed against your financial plan and a properly diversified portfolio. All right, let's dive into your questions today. Two lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin in Oregon. Hi, Lynn. Go ahead.
Hi, we have a blended family and an adult daughter that has chosen an immoral lifestyle and has married another woman. They have a business that they started last year and are wanting to expand on that and have asked us for a loan, which we have the money and would like to help her, but also feel since we are stewards of what the Lord gives us, it goes against our Christian values and endorses her immoral lifestyle. How do we handle this situation, and what do we say to her? Our biggest concern is their salvation.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I think this, of course, needs to be a matter of prayer. And I think you all need to make it clear where you stand in terms of your own convictions and biblical worldview. And that's paramount. I would say with regard to this particular loan, regardless of the situation with the lifestyle, I think making a loan to a family member is never a good idea. In some cases, folks will, go ahead and do it. But it's just setting you up for relational strain, in the sense that even if somebody's best intention is to pay you back, and even if you follow the rules of open and clear communication, even putting it in writing so there's no, misunderstanding in terms of expectation, especially when it's a small business. I mean, keep in mind, 80% of small businesses fail. And, that is going to put you in a position where potentially, even despite her best effort, she's unable to repay the loan. And then that, could put you all in a financial difficult spot. Even if it doesn't, though, it could create relational strain. The only time I will, say to folks that are suggesting this to go ahead with it is if they're ready, willing, and able to make it a gift and if there's very clear and documented communication, and so long as they understand that the Bible calls this type of relationship a master-slave relationship, which is just, you know, it changes the relationship, and that's just something you typically don't want to see in a family. So what I would say is I would probably not do it for those reasons, even before you get to the issue that you're raising around the lifestyle. Now, if you feel like and you've made it clear where you stand and, you're considering her salvation as the most important factor, and you feel like this would create the environment for you to have an ability to speak into that, well, that's certainly something you can pray through and make your own conviction on. I would say even before I get to that, though, I wouldn't do the loan just because I think it's not a good idea when it's, you know, a family situation. Does that make sense, though?
Yes, thank you.
All right. Listen, we'll join you in praying for this situation, that the Lord will give you wisdom on how to speak into her life and navigate that. We'll join you in praying that the Lord will open her eyes to him as her Savior. And I realize this is something that's weighing heavily on your heart, but at the end of the day, I think this is between you and the Lord, and you and your spouse need to pray through this and come to a decision. I would recommend avoiding it for the reasons that I mentioned, but I understand it's a difficult spot, and we'll ask the Lord to give you wisdom as you navigate that. Thanks for calling today, Lynn. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Missouri. Hi, Dennis. How can I help?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing real well. Thanks for your call.
Well, I'll be 74 next month, and I had some life insurance that was term life, and my insurance company informed me that my policy was going to jump to about roughly, I don't remember the exact amount, roughly $700 a month for the one policy, and because it was for 100 and some thousand, and it was going to jump to like between $700 and $800 a month. And that's just because it was term and it was going to continue to go up. So I decided to change my term policy to whole life. So I ended up with two companies, Bankers Life and New York Life. And they offered me policies to a total of $80,000, which I'm getting the policies to help my ex-wife in case I die. There'll be enough to pay off the mortgage and give her some money to live on. But it's costing me about $740 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a diabetic. I'm in my 70s. I'm retired military. But, you know, I thought, well, I didn't know what else to do because I didn't know where to go to find anything, and I didn't know if I was going to find anything cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, because of your age, Dennis, 73, plus your health status, it's going to be very expensive as it is. You know, you're spending $9,000 a year on this policy. Let's do this. You stay the line. I've got to take a quick break, and we'll talk about where you go from here just around the corner. We'll be right back.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, He called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, applying a biblical worldview to financial decisions and choices, helping you make planning decisions. That is, how do you live, give, owe, and grow in light of God's word? Also investing decisions as we bring our values as believers alongside the investment decisions that we're making so that there's not a mismatch there where perhaps we're avoiding companies that are misaligned with our values, or even companies that are using corporate profits in a way that are misaligned with our values. Also engaging, like the American Family Association has been doing extensively as of late, as owners or shareholders of companies, letting company leadership and the boards of directors know that we are in disagreement with some of the practices of the company. Well, that's the opportunity you have as a shareholder, and increasingly investors, even just the average investor who's buying in a 401k or has a mutual fund or some stocks, you have a voice that you can leverage. And having an advisor that understands your biblical worldview and can lean into that and counsel you appropriately, I think, is a big idea. And that's why we're so intent on making sure you know about the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, which you can find a CKA in your area at faithfi.com. Let's head back to the phones. Nearly all the lines full. We have room for perhaps one more, 800-525-7000. Out to Missouri. Hi, Dennis. Go ahead.
Discussing life insurance before.
That's right, Dennis. I appreciate that. Let's pick that back up. I think the question is for, you know, you to spend $8,000, $9,000 a year on a death benefit. Did you say it was $100,000?
$80,000.
Yeah. So, you know, we're talking that, you know, in less than 9 years, you will have fully funded this death benefit. And then at that point, you know, you would still be paying on a policy that's, you know, going to end up paying out less than what you could have had in savings. Not to mention, you know, if it were getting a return on it, you're going to get to that same, you know, $80,000 in less time. So I think the key is this the best use of your money? You know, typically what we say is that we have life insurance during our working years while we're accumulating assets. And I realize you may say, well, I wish I would have saved more, but I don't have a whole lot. And I understand you want to be a blessing, in this case, to your ex-wife at your passing so she can pay off the mortgage. I'm just not sure this is the best way to do it. You know, I would probably think that you putting that $9,000 a year into a savings account alongside whatever other assets you have, even if there's not significant wealth there, you've got something, that's probably a better use of that money that you would then have access to in the meantime if you needed it, rather than spending on this big, you know, expensive policy at your age and with your health status. But give me your thoughts on that.
Well, being in my 70s and being retired military and all, with my health as it is, I thought about just saving the money But I was concerned that in order to save up, I need to save up actually $90,000, but all they offered me was $80,000. So I thought that if I could, if I saving it or trying to save it, that would take me about, you know, I don't know, 8 years or so. Well, I don't know if I have 8 years, and I'm concerned that if I kicked off, she would get what I have saved, but if it's not that much, it wouldn't help her pay off the mortgage because my ex-wife's, because we're divorced and she receives maintenance allowance, when I die, as you know, all my income stops.
Yeah.
Being retired military and a veteran and all that.
Sure.
So that's another reason.
No, I certainly understand that. Dennis, what other assets do you have?
Well, I don't own anything now because my wife got the farm whenever we separated. The judge gave her the land and the house and everything. And I just live in a little, I just rent a little place to live, and that's all I have.
Yeah. All right. And do you have anything in savings or any kind of other assets to speak of?
I have a little bit in savings, but not very much. Most of my money, it's going really to help the family. And so I don't have much saved. I'm starting, but I'm working on, I'm very close to being totally out of debt. That's one thing I wanted to do. And I'm very close to doing that. Now, after that happens, then I'll have more money freed up to put into a savings thing or something else.
Okay. Well, at the end of the day, Dennis, I mean, this is something you need to pray about and ask the Lord for wisdom on. You need to make the call here as the steward. I just think that if you know, for whatever time the Lord has for you here, and none of us know the day or the hour that he will call us home, I think a better use of that money is to take everything that you have that's surplus, including that, you know, roughly $800 a month that you'd be spending on this life insurance policy, plus what you can add to it by maybe just being really lean on what you're spending. And then obviously once you get the debts paid off, you know, that would be an opportunity at that point to, you know, add something to it. You know, that seems like that might be a better approach. I guess the other thing is just looking at, I understand your income's going to go away, but what is her ability, given the assets that she got in the divorce, to, you know, pay for her expenses? And maybe she has the ability to do it because there's going to be something there. You've got some assets today and you're going to be, you know, adding $8,000 a year. So for every year that you have, and, you know, maybe we get it up to $10,000 or $12,000 a year that you're putting aside, you know, once you pay off the debts, you're getting closer to her having enough to pay off whatever mortgage remains. I just feel like that's the more prudent approach rather than kind of throwing money away on a term policy that you'll never get back and don't know that you need. And 8 years from now, we've fully funded it and you got nothing to show for it. So I think my better option would just be keep our lifestyle lean, save as much as you can, try to get out of debt as quick as you can. And, you know, and then you'll have 100% of that available if that's what you decide to do, is to leave it to her as the next steward. But ask the Lord to give you some wisdom on that. And I'm confident you'll make the best decision here, Dennis. We appreciate you giving us the opportunity to weigh in. And thank you for your service to our country, sir. We're grateful. A quick break and back with more of your questions. Donna, Scott, Gloria, coming your way just around the corner. Stay with us.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Is your success in life being stolen? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Unbelief is involved in every single sin. Why did Eve eat the forbidden fruit? Because she believed the devil's lie rather than God's truth. Hey, if you don't believe God, you'll never be a success.
Learn what real success can be like. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Financial fear is real, but so is God's promise to provide. At FaithFi, we know the daily stress of money can overwhelm your heart, but Jesus reminds us to look at the birds of the air. They don't worry, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. In Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional, you'll find peace by focusing on God's faithfulness as you discover how to overcome financial anxiety with faith. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and begin your journey with Look at the Sparrows today.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Thanks for being along with us today. Hey, let me invite you to be a Faith and Finance supporter. That's right, as a listener-supported ministry, we rely on your support for a portion of our ministry budget each year. And we're slightly behind for the month of September, so this would be a great time. If you count on this program, you've found some of the advice helpful, or maybe it's just been an encouragement to you, or perhaps you want to see others encouraged to be faithful stewards of what God has entrusted to them. A gift to FaithFi would go a long way to helping us continue to do that. Just head to our website, faithfi.com. You can click Give at the top of the page. Again, a one-time gift between now and the end of the month would help us stay on budget for our listener support for this ministry year. Again, faithfi.com. Just click Give, and thanks in advance. Let's head back to the phones. By the way, we have two lines open at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Donna is waiting patiently in Virginia. Hi, Donna. How can I help you?
Hi. My question had to do about a loan to my grandson, and I think I caught, while I was speaking to your person who does call screening, I think I caught a part of what you said to the other gentleman, but only the tail end of it. Yeah. My circumstances are, this is a young man, about 23 years old, who has been raised in a very strict Christian home, homeschooled, did not do well with homeschooling, has not a lot of skills, except he does a lot of like shop work and fixing things and stuff like that. So we do not have a relationship with him because we were sort of kept at a distance by his parents who wanted to protect him from the world, which was, I guess, us. But anyway, he's only called us twice in his whole life, and both of the time he's asking for money. And this time he's asked for $100,000 because he wants to buy a house from an older gentleman that said he's given him a deal. And he said he only wants a short-term loan, and he's willing to pay 5% interest. He said his mom would co-sign for it. However, when I asked her, she said no, she would not co-sign for it, but that he was reliable. They'd lent him money before. They just didn't have liquidity to do it now. So the other factor in here is that he has 9 siblings, and therefore I don't know what expectations would be set in place if we lend him money in regard to the other, because they don't have much prospects as far as making a way in the world. except for one who was sent to college with the hope that he would do well. Graduated as a chemical engineer, but then said bye, mom and dad, and bye to the faith, and he's off on his own.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's several things going on here that would lead me to say this is not a good idea to make this loan. First is the big idea that I said a moment ago to the previous caller, and that is, you know, lending changes the relationship. So the Bible calls it a master-slave relationship. It says the borrower is slave to the lender. And so that's just not a relationship you want among friends, and certainly not family, because despite his best intentions, if all of a sudden he's unable to pay as agreed, even if you take the time to have really clear communication and you document the loan and everybody's on board, it may even, you know, be filed against the property with a lien. The question is, what recourse are you going to take against a family member to collect, and what would be the further damage and fallout to the relationship that's possible? And so I think the idea here is you are the steward, and you're deciding how to steward what limited resources God has entrusted to you. And so the extent to which you have the ability to be a blessing to this child, you know, I think a gift would be a better option. The challenge here is, as you said, you've got to look at, you know, what you may or may not be able to do across all the other siblings. Number two, there's a lack of a relationship here. He's only called you twice, and both times you said he's asked for money. He's also either intentionally or unintentionally misled you about a co-signing that was, he said, was going to be in place that you've confirmed is not. And I would say that's a problem in and of itself. Not only that he has at worst lied to you, or at least not verified his mom's intent, but secondly, the Bible is very clear. There should be no co-signing. You know, that's one of those where it's not even a conviction matter. It's just plain in God's word that we shouldn't co-sign. So that's something that I would have an issue with. So I just think this is ripe for potential, you know, fallout negatively, not only in your relationship with him, but just the financial implications of this, plus all the other children. And so I think you need to say, listen, you know, we've decided we're not going to enter into a debtor relationship with any family members, just because it's not worth the fallout relationally. But if you'd like to have a relationship, we'd love to be in a relationship with you. You may even decide you want to bless him with a gift at some point down the road where you're not loaning him money, you know, as an opportunity to hopefully even open up the chance for further conversation. You all also have the ability to know just kind of where he's at in his life and, you know, the skills that he has and in this case lacks, and, you know, what that means, the implications of that for his ability to get a job that's going to pay a reasonable amount that allows him to even, you know, make good on the obligation he would have to you. So I think for all of those reasons, Donna, I would gracefully and lovingly tell him you're going to pass on this, but that is no indication of your desire to have a relationship with him, and, you know, be praying for him, and hopefully he opens that door that allows you all to speak into his life. But give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I did purchase that book that you talked about, Splitting Heirs.
Yes, ma'am.
And I, you know, I keep thinking that what he said there was, do your giving while you're living. So that's why I even entertained this. However, the aspect of, you know, the other children and the variation in ages kind of complicates matters. They are in our will, and so they all will get something, but of course that's down the road.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, but I think doing your giving while you're living is different than doing your loaning while you're living. And so if you have the ability to make a gift to him outright, to say, listen, we're not going to enter into a debtor relationship with you, but we would love to bless you with X amount of dollars for you to use toward your down payment. And by the way, we'd love to, you know, have a relationship with you where we talk more often than when you need money. So let's, you know, make some plans around to that end. But I think a gift doesn't have any strings attached. It doesn't have the potential to create a difficult, strained relationship if there's not a repayment there. It's just a blessing. And so that, I think, is much better and would be something I would wholeheartedly endorse if you had the ability to do it.
Yeah, the ability sometimes is cut a little short when you've got
another
sibling.
Yes, ma'am. I certainly understand.
So, Okay, I appreciate your perspective. Thank you. My first reaction was I'd love to do something to help this young man. He was very persuasive. He talked to me for like 45 minutes before he popped the question asking for the money.
Yeah. And that's, you know, unfortunately, it's too bad that that's the only time you get the call. And I think just cutting it off by saying, listen, and be very clear about this. We love you, but we've made a decision. We're not going to enter into a debtor lender relationship with any family members. And that just cuts it off. And then I think before you have that conversation, you and your husband decide if you're ready, willing, and able to make him a gift of any kind. And you have to think about whether or not you'd be willing to do that for the others. And then you could turn around and offer that at the same time. But even though we're not going to make this loan to you, we would like to bless you with $1,000 and, would ask that you'd put that toward the down payment. And can't wait to see how the Lord provides. So hopefully that helps you, Donna. We appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you and call anytime. Another break and then back with our final segment. A lot of great questions coming up. Scott, Trey coming your way just around the corner. Andy as well. We'll be right back.
On the next Focus on the Family, Chuck and Ann Bentley argued for years about finances. But when Chuck repented of his love of money, their marriage began to thrive. The Bentleys share 7 keys to help you get on the same team with your spouse, financially and spiritually, next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Oh, I know, Christianity's for Sunday. What you do Monday through Friday, no, it's not that way at all. The Holy Spirit doesn't take Monday through Friday off. He's with you every day. He goes with you in every situation.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series in Ephesians, Belief That Behaves, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, are you overwhelmed by financial fear and anxiety? Well, you're not alone. Here at FaithFi, we hear it every day. People weighed down by worries related to wealth and money. But financial anxiety isn't about the size of your bank account. It's really ultimately about the condition of your heart. That's why we created the Look at the Sparrows 21-day devotional that will help you find peace through Jesus' teachings and remind you to trust in God's provision. You can replace your financial anxiety with peace today when you visit faithfi.com/sparrows. That's faithfi.com/sparrows and start your journey today. It's a beautiful 21-day devotion, and it's just out last week. So brand new from FaithFi, and we'd love to put it in your hands. All right, back to the phones. We go to Louisiana. Hi, Scott. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Real quickly, I'm 61 years old. About 10 years ago, I was in a totally financial different situation than I am today. And I bought a life insurance policy that builds an account with it and so forth. And I'm probably not using the right terms and all, but anyway, here we are 10 years later. I call them up and I say it's a $10,000 policy, and I know I've got some cash value. And I ask what the cash value was. We needed a statement from them, and they go, it's about $10,000. I said, okay. Well, if I died today, my beneficiary would get what, $110,000? They said no, they get $100,000. We keep the rest of it.
Right.
And I did not know that. I didn't know that. So that kind of blew me over. So I'm going, and it's costing me $1,500 a year to keep this policy. And so I called my financial guy, and he said, well, and it's Merrill Lynch is who it is. And they said, well, let's see what we have. And of course they didn't have anything that would be equivalent, I guess, at that price. So he said, here's what you do. And it's great advice, I think. He said, based on what you've told me, you need to wait about another 10 years on this policy. And at that point, it will be at its maximum level on cash value. And then he said, just cash it out at that point and just let it lapse if you're in a situation where it can. And in the meantime, if you were to pass away, then it would pay out. But I don't really have a question. I just wanted to comment. If I was in that situation, there's got to be other callers listening to think, hey, this may be something I need to do. But it was on topic today, and I just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, I appreciate you mentioning that, Scott, and you're exactly right. So the cash value is the money you can withdraw or borrow from a policy while you're alive. And when you take it out, it reduces the future death benefit for your heirs. However, any unused cash value is forfeited to the insurer when you pass away, unless you have a rider, which is an extra fee, of course, that allows it to be added to the death benefit. But in most cases, you're exactly right. Based on what you've heard, it goes away. Now, what is it you're paying per month toward this policy, or per year?
It's about $1,500 a year. It's $378 a quarter. So I pay it by the quarter.
All right.
And all that to say, eventually the policy, the cash value will be eaten up by the term of the policy.
That's right. Yeah, because as you age, the mortality expense goes up, and so it'll start to eat into it. So I'm trying to hone in on this 10-year mark, though. What is it that you're hearing with regard to, so 10 years from now, you will have paid an additional $15,000 in premium. What will your cash value be then?
It will be somewhere around 20 at that point.
Okay.
And so my question to my guy was, should I take the $1,500 a year and let the policy lapse, not pay it, and then and cash out and then put the $1,500 somewhere? Well, the advice was this, to go ahead, and because I still kind of need the policy. If I passed away, I would feel I'm at peace with that. But he said, wait until you're in about 10 years, wait till you're roughly 71, 2 years old. And at that point, it will have its maximum cash value, and then cash it out. Don't cash it out now. Wait till then to cash it out, have its maximum, and then let it lapse. That way I get the maximum benefit. Then I can invest that money.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. I guess the only question is whether or not you need the death benefit, because you'd be better off taking that $1,500 a year plus adding the $10,000 to it. If you collapse the policy today and just invest that, you'd come out much better over a decade, you know, based on historical returns, than $20,000. You've already got $10,000 in cash value today. You're going to put another $15,000 toward the premium. So that's $25,000 without factoring in any kind of, you know, growth over the next decade, which, you know, it'd be reasonable to think you could grow this at, you know, 6-8% a year. So you could be up $30,000 plus. The downside is you would no longer have the death benefit. And I guess that's the question, is there somebody where, you know, there'd be a hardship created at your death, or do you have enough in the way of assets and nobody's really counting on you for this, you know, amount of death benefit, that with the other assets you could leave behind, they would be fine? And if that's the case, I'd rather you redirect the $1,500 a month plus the $10,000 in cash value today toward an investment rather than sending it to the insurance company.
Yeah, I get that. Actually, it's $1,500 a year. So right. It's but
15,000 over 10 years.
Right, that's correct. I get that. And I guess that you're right. That is the question I need to answer. And of course, you know, the Lord has blessed us, and we've got a lot of I'll put it like this. 10 years ago, I was a totally different person financially, spiritually, my marital status, the whole situation.
Yes,
so I see what you're saying, and I will certainly consider that.
Yeah, good. Well, first of all, I appreciate you just weighing in, because you're exactly right. A lot of people may not realize what you said about the death benefit and the cash value and how those work. So that's a great reminder for our listeners. But secondly, just to underscore what you just said, I think if you were to take a step back and say, do I really need to have this death benefit, or has the Lord provided enough in the way of assets that I can truly look at this in terms of what is the best use of $1,500 a year and a $10,000 cash value today? And I think what you'll find is the best use of that $10,000 plus $1,500 a year for the next 10 years is probably you just investing that on your own outside of the insurance company, so long as you do have enough in the way of assets and your death between now and the next 10 years, if that was what the Lord had in mind, would not create any kind of hardship on anyone. And that death benefit truly is unneeded at this point, which, you know, that's typically the way we think about life insurance when we get to this season of life. But all great thoughts, Scott, and we appreciate you being a part of the program today, sir. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Andy. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
All right. My question is this. My employer is selling off the division that I'm associated with. And the prospective buyer, if they do a 401k program, can I maintain the 401 that I have now, or do I need to cash it out, say, like roll it over into a IRA, or would I be better off just taking cash out and investing it in, say, like a mutual fund or in the stock market? Or
yeah, so you've thrown out three options there, and we lost you a little bit, but I think I got the gist of it, is that your employer is selling, and therefore you're going to have a change from with regard to the plan administrator on your 401k upon the sale of your company. And you said, should I roll it into that new plan? Should I roll it to an IRA, or should I cash it out? I definitely wouldn't do option three. I wouldn't create that taxable event. I'd keep it in a tax-deferred environment, let it grow for the future. My preference would be, and they're going to communicate with you on how this would work, is that you just allow the 401k to migrate over to the new, to the buyer, the new owner of the company, and whatever plan administrator is available through, you know, the 401k that would be offered there. They're going to provide you a pathway to roll that over, and then you just keep it right there and then keep contributing to it. If for some reason there's no longer going to be one available, then you would want to roll that out to an IRA. But I'd sit tight and wait for communication on how you roll it into the new plan with the new owner.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to figure out what my options potentially could be.
Yeah. And you're right. You do have those three options. Typically, you have the option to roll it to the new plan administrator for the new owner of the company, roll it out to an IRA, or cash it out. I definitely wouldn't cash it out. And my preference would be, just for simplicity, because you're likely going to keep contributing to that 401k with the new plan administrator once you're settled in, I'd rather you have all the money in one place, and then you don't have multiple accounts to keep up with. So I'd probably sit tight. You're going to get communication, plenty of it, between now and then, because they're going to want to make it as simple as possible for everybody to migrate over to the new plan. So I hope that helps, Andy. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. Trey, I apologize we didn't get to you there in Georgia. If you want to stay right there, Sandy, we'll see if we can get you scheduled to be first up on tomorrow's broadcast. And we'll look forward to tackling your question then. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. What a blessing it is to answer your questions here and be able to encourage you, provide you hopefully some helpful, godly, practical advice on managing what he has entrusted to you as a wise and faithful steward. Again, our new new devotion is out. Look at the sparrows. You'll find it at faithfi.com/sparrows. It could be just what you're looking for to replace fear with faith in your financial life. Also, a one-time gift between now and the end of September would be a real blessing to us to stay on track as a listener-supported ministry. Go to faithfi.com and click Give. Big thanks to my team today, Jim, Taylor, Devin, and Sandy. Couldn't do it without them. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.